Everyone, welcome back to the Korean Cowboys podcast.
Yes, and we're back again this week. And listen, y'all, I am fully rested. I'm not going to make no mistakes. I'm good. I got a solid 8 hours, and I woke up for an hour, and then I took another 2 hours after that. So I'm good. I have my coffee. Listen, check this out.
Yes.
I don't know who made this, but Aaron, please explain. Who made this? What is, you know... Yes.
So, I actually just got back from my fan camp.
Oh.
It ended today, actually. Mm-hmm. I finished that, went home, unpacked real quick, and I came to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking through the presents that the fans at Kame got me.
Uh-huh.
And this happened to be in there. So, thank you to the person who made these tumblers for us.
Yes, thank you so much. I know.
So cute.
Yeah, it was not, a gift for me, but, you know, he's willing to share the love of his fans with me.
This person made it for the Korean Cowboys, so thank you very much. If you are watching this video today, thank you very much. We will be using these probably every episode from now on.
Shout out, because you know what? We're trying to save the earth and not use so much plastic, but you know how that is. Tell me about, explain to your fan camp, because a lot of people were not able to go to your fan camp.
Right.
So explain, how it was, what happened, what's going on, how was it, actually, honestly?
So I went on Friday, today's Sunday, I went on Friday, we had, a welcome party during the nighttime,
mm-hmm.
got to say hi to the fans, I read everyone's names out, we talked, we had a lot of fun, and then Saturday, starting from the morning, we had, a DIY class. So we had...
Do it yourself.
Yes.
What would you do?
So we had figurines for everyone.
Okay.
And then we had paint mm-hmm. and stuff. So everyone could paint their own figurine the way they wanted. Okay. And I made some myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we did a 운동회. We played games with each other, like physical activities, I guess.
Oh, so no powerlifting.
No powerlifting, but we did tug of war and, these games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really fun. At the end of the day, we had an after party. We all drank a little bit.
Okay.
I drank towards the end of it because, I had to sing and stuff on stage, even though my voice wasn't in the best condition. It's not right now either, if you guys can't tell. But,
you can't tell.
Shut up. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And today I said bye to everyone, that were going home on the buses and
mm-hmm.
it was really fun. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
It was my first time ever doing a fan camp, but, hopefully everyone that came had a good time. It seemed like everyone had a good time.
Mm. I'm sure they did. They get to hang out with Aaron.
Well, I'm glad everyone that was there, at least I'm under the impression that they had a good time.
Mm.
They seemed to enjoy it, and it was really fun for me. Yeah,
that's good.
A little tiring, but fun.
You know what they say. So, when I just hang, you go on vacation, right? And you're supposed to be rested on vacation.
Right. It's
supposed to be a resting thing. But for me, when I go on vacation, I come back and I'm even more tired than I am when I go to work.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Dude. I know what you mean.
You come back and you're like, all right, I ain't leaving my house for a good week or two. Until I recover.
You know what? This is true because last year we went to Busan for a wedding, right, guys? Because we had to sing the congratulatory song.
Mm-hmm.
And we drank that night. We drank all night. And then the next day, we took a train back up to Seoul. But this guy was dying the whole time. It was pretty funny. We were in a taxi and I was trying to talk to him. He's like, don't talk to me. I'm about to yak. Don't talk to me.
So the way that, actually, shout out to Kimberly, because this was your wedding, and we sang at the wedding, and I've never seen the footage, but I hope to never. I'm just saying. I was very nervous. You were nervous, too.
Oh, yeah, I was super nervous.
I've sang a few things, what do you in Korea, you sing at a wedding, right? You usually try to, hire a singer friend or, a celebrity or whatever to, sing at your wedding or whatever.
Right.
And I've sung a few, but for some reason, this particular one, which was huge, it was a huge wedding, Aaron and I were so nervous, and I had never met her now husband, but I was like hi, how you doing?
Yeah, because because it's a close friend of ours, right? A dear friend of ours. We didn't want to ruin her special day,
mm-hmm.
especially with everyone watching us, you know what I mean? It was nerve-wracking, but I think we did all right.
Yeah, and they had servers, right? Because it was a course meal thing.
Oh yeah.
And we had the guy come around and he was like, why did it go? And I was like, the heart is willing, but the body cannot. You know what I mean? I was like, if I drink wine right now, I'm gonna severely mess up the song.
Yeah.
Also, we learned the song really we learned it really quickly, and it was a really obscure song people we never heard before. So I was like, okay, I really need to go up there and concentrate. We smashed it though.
Yeah.
And then we came down, and that is when the mistake started for me. honestly.
Yeah, because as soon as you went down, like the guy like came around and he's like, "Do you guys want wine?" And I was just like, "Leave the bottle here, homie."
Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, poured the wine. He poured the wine, and I was like, "Ah, come back here."
Yeah, he was about to leave. We're like, "Hold on,
you better bring that."
Like, yeah,
you run that back right now.
And then after that, you and I, we went to the beach and ate like clams and.
Let me tell this story because I parts that I remember of it anyway.
Look at Lizard.
So we from there, we. There was like a term between the wedding after party or whatever. So we went, him and I went to go, the pochas over by on Haeundae, the beach.
Yeah, yeah,
and we
yeah.
had like lobster or ramyeon and like hay and whatever.
It's like live seafood. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then we were eating. I was like, dang, this is so good. Blah, 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 whoop de whoop de whoop, right? And then we started drinking. Oh, no, this is what we know, the pocha. We went to the chogegui.
That's what I was saying.
We went there, and then we had drink soju there, and then we went to the pochas.
No.
We went to the club or bar or whatever
Thing
was.
We had dinner at chogegui. Dude, damn, you must have been effed up, because your memory's all over the place, bro.
Once you hear the results of this story, you'll understand why.
So we went to get dinner just amongst ourselves, just me and him. We had chogegui. And then we went to the official after party of the club.
That's where the problem started.
We went to a bar and, the newlywed couple, they rented out the whole bar. So it was just like unlimited.
It was like a big lounge.
Yeah. Like a bar like a lounge. Yeah. So there's like unlimited alcohol, bottles of whiskey. You know, we got to sit at the VVIP table, you know? Yeah.
Second floor, you know,
bodyguard staring over everyone on the patio, but no. Look at them. Drink.
Look at those people paying by the shots.
Oh God. Yeah. No. And then we drank a lot of whiskey. And then we ended up going to Haeundae, which is a beach, like a part of Busan. And that's when we went to the pochas. And we drank a lot of soju there as well. But Joel disappeared.
No, I stopped. I stopped drinking soju when we went to the pochas. I stopped drinking totally when we went to the pochas.
Oh, yeah. And then this guy goes, hold on, I gotta call my parents or something, right? So he disappears for like 30 minutes.
I needed air, even though I was outside. I don't, you know.
Yeah, disappeared for 30 minutes and like we're all like a little drunk as well, right? The people that were there. So we're just like drinking and I'm like, where's Joel? And then you come back. And he's like, I had to talk to my parents, blah, blah, blah. And then he pulls me aside separately. He's like, bro, I just had to throw up.
And then anyway, so we went back to, I think we got an Airbnb that time, right?
Yeah, so we ended up, I ended up drinking like a little more, and then we went back to the Airbnb.
Well, I went back first. I was like, okay, I need to go like take a sleep.
Oh, did you? I thought we went back together. Maybe.
Maybe?
I don't know.
Oh, no, yeah, because there was a whole bunch of us.
Yeah, so we all separated. Like some people were staying at this hotel. Everyone was sort of like, okay, bye, everyone. No, you and I walked back to the Airbnb. Right. And then we passed out. And then he wakes up the next day. He's like, dying. Actually, he woke me up because he was in the bathroom going,
no, I was completely okay.
My
I was
ass,
completely,
dude.
No, in the morning when I woke up at like 8 o'clock or something,
I was
like,
dry heaving in the morning.
I was fine. And then I was like, oh man, I'm hungover, like in a bad way. Yeah. Not even like, oh, my head hurt. No. I was like, I had the plague. Like, it was bad. So I was in the bathroom dry heaving. And then our train was like really early to come back up to Seoul.
Our train was at like 2 or something.
That's too early for me. So I was like, all right, Aaron, you know what? I'm going to change our train. I will pay for it. That is how sick I am right now. Like, I will literally, and I'll pay for extending on the Airbnb and everything. Like, I could not move. Like, I was completely dead.
Yep.
And then, then we slept some more, but unfortunately, and it had not subsided.
There was a UFC fight going on that day.
That morning, yeah.
If you guys like UFC, it was Israel Adesanya against Alex Pereira, the second fight.
Who are these people?
And so I was watching. I was like, Joel, you gotta look. You knocked him out. And he was just like, don't talk to me.
And
don't get near me.
He likes to do that. Like, when we used to live together, I would be really hungover, and he would like knock on my door and be like, hey, bro, you okay? Like, and just like bother me like crazy for like hours. Like every couple, like 30 minutes, he would come in.
I have videos from that day, actually.
And then, clips
here and there.
In Airbnb, you're actually supposed to throw away the food trash. And when you're that hungover and nauseous, the food trash is just not it. And we were throwing away the trash. And I have a video of us in the elevator. He's like, he pulled out his phone, because of course he did, because he's Aaron. And then he's like trying to film me. And he's like, hey, bro, how you feeling? And he just like kept like poking me like a sleeping bear. And I was like, stop talking to me. Just leave me alone.
You okay, bro?
Talk to me.
Oh, shit, you cracked me up.
Bully suga, bro.
And then we got in a cab, nauseous in the cab.
Oh
passed out on the train. And by the time we got back to Seoul, when I woke up from my, you know,
2 hour train
from
ride,
my slumber, like I was like, hey, I feel all right now. Like, you know, of course I went home, ate ramen and passed out. But yeah, that's the story. How do we get on this?
What were we talking about? I don't even know what we're talking about, but
what
anyways.
Were we talking about? We're talking about your fan cam. How do we get on this?
Hey, whatever.
Mm. Well, yeah, it was like an MT, an MT concept, right?
Yeah, so the concept was an MT. I don't know what that stands for in English.
An MT is basically like, I think they do them a lot
MT
in college.
MT is basically. Let me see.
I really
want
to beat your ass, but heaven is the goal, so I'm going to calm down. All right. Anyway, MT, yeah, it's like a getaway. Kind of. You know, companies do them a lot. Schools do them a lot.
So it's called, in Korea, it's called MT. It's membership training.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
An event held among university students in South Korea.
Yeah. I went to exactly one MT in Korea? My life in Korea.
I heard that's what people look like forward to the most when they get into college, is like going to like an MT, drinking with like, you know, like their peers and getting to know everyone.
Yeah, back in those days, you know, I was a little bit of a wild card. You see what I'm saying? I was throwing them back. But I went to one MT. I honestly don't even remember what it was for. I don't remember what it was for or anything else about it, to be honest. But it was a lot of fun. And I'm glad that you guys had like a cool little like...
Yeah.
And mine was not at a resort either. Mine was at like some... Like dinky house by the ocean. Yeah,
the fans, like they like enjoyed the fan camp to the fullest. Like they went like all out on the MT concept, because after like our events and stuff, the first day I actually visited every room to say hi, give them chicken. I also bought chicken for all the rooms, so because I knew they were going to be drinking.
Chicken prices and, went up, man.
Everyone was
moves.
Drinking soju and beer, and someone was drinking Hwayo and
Hwayo.
Hwayo.
Was it 25 year?
I have no idea, but everyone was drinking, and then I went back to my room and I passed out. And the second day as well, after the after party, they all like hung out and drank amongst each other. I asked them, I was like, how long did you guys stay up like drinking? The first day they stay up, like some people stayed up until like 5:30.
Oh my God.
When the first event started at 10.
Oof.
And then yesterday people stayed up until like 4 or 5 again, like drinking. Like,
you're on vacation.
Fun. I was like, where's damn. The beef? I was like, if that was me, I would have died. If I drink until 4 or 5, loudy.
And Aaron's over here passing out by like 11:30.
Yeah, I was a great, I passed out at like 12. Mm. Yeah, every day.
MTs are fun.
We should go on like a Korean Cowboys MT.
A Korean Cowboys MT? Where would we go?
Anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Go to the beach.
The weather's been nice, so like maybe like spring, like we did for like a first year anniversary video.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was an MT that we went on.
Yeah, we did like a little barbecue thing. Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah,
with a fire? With campfire?
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of that either, because I was pretty drunk at that one, too.
Like, you stopped drinking in the middle of that one, too?
No, because by the time we left that place that sold the beer, I was, like, already gone. I mean, you guys seen the thing where I'm, like, dancing, and I'm all red, and, like, with my cowboy boots on. I was really feeling myself. But, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, we should. We'll get right on that. Maybe we'll vlog that one, too, if we do.
Yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. That sounds fun.
Might come later in the summer, though. We'll see.
Yeah.
There's no timeline on that, but, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that was, I guess you asked me about my week. That was my week. How was your week?
Very busy.
What did you do?
Recordings.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And I've been, listen, I know it don't look like it because I wear oversized, but like, you know, I was hitting them weights, you know, I know. Throw them around a little.
Didn't you just say before we turned the cameras, oh, my neck hurts, I can't go to the gym?
Now, mind you, 2 days ago,
I can't blast
these
weights.
I went to sleep.
Is exactly what he said.
I can't do them right now because, you know, I think I aggravated my neck disc because I slept on my neck wrong, and I now sleep like Tutankhamun, you know, like the mummy.
King Tut, yeah.
You know, King Tut. I sleep like him because I cannot sleep on my side right now because it hurt. Yeah, like that. Yeah, like that.
Oh, that's so funny.
But anyway, yeah, so basically just floating by.
Just work here and there.
Yeah. See, when I asked you about your fan camp, it was more like let's hear what you've been up to in terms of like, because we know you came from a fan camp, and then you asked me how I'm doing. I didn't do anything.
I don't know, bro.
I just vegged out at home. Like, that's all I did, really, you know.
What do you mean? You were also on Arirang Radio on Wednesday, bro. I tuned in.
Yeah, I know. So Aaron has this thing. What are these tangents today?
I don't know.
Anyway, so Aaron has this thing where he likes, whenever I'm on the radio or whenever I do anything where you can contact them directly, like send a message or a text or something, you always do that.
I'm trying to show my support for my boy.
He's like, oh, Jae Young, no more moshisayo, no more penyeo. And then Oh, we talked about it on the Greg when I was like, listen, stop paying attention to him.
I did it recently too, like a few weeks ago, actually.
Did you?
I logged into like my YouTube account and then I went into the Arirang live.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Chat, yeah.
We didn't read you off, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, Isaac did.
Oh.
She should have. And you're like, ignore that.
I didn't say that.
You're just trying to mess with me or something like that.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Listen. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we could sit here and BS and tiki taka all day about what we're doing, but we got important things to talk about.
Yeah. So what are we going to be discussing this week?
Okay, well, I went back to the States recently, as you all know, and I'd be pulling a lot from my experiences in the States. Anyway, in Colorado Springs, there's this enormous building.
Right.
Right. Enormous. Enormous. Building, and it is actually a mega church. Do you know what that is?
A mega church. I'm assuming it's like. So Joel actually recommended a show called The Righteous Gemstones.
That's exactly what it is.
I've been watching it recently. It's actually really funny. If you guys haven't watched it, watch it. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming that it's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's like a supersized church. It's not a giga church, but it's a mega church. You know, it's in between. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's really big, and basically, you know, it's like mass prayer, mass worship.
Right.
You know, it's like Sunday service, but you do it with like 5,000 people or whatever.
Okay, so it's like a large like congregation of like
Yeah. And it's been because of a lot of exposure lately because of things like Righteous Gemstones.
Right.
And also, you know, people getting caught, big pastors getting caught.
Right.
Misappropriating funds from mega churches. Now let me just say this in advance, okay? I'm not generalizing anything.
Right.
There are big churches, small churches, medium-sized churches, all kinds of churches that, you know, not everything is all doom and gloom. There's a lot of good to come from churches.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And I'm not a religious person, but I can respect and I acknowledge that a faith and going to church does a lot for people, and that's great. And they do a lot of good things for the community.
Right.
You know, charity programs, outreaches, you know, schools.
Just before we get any further into this topic, we respect all religions. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, just wanted to put that out on the table.
Yes,
you know,
just to, you know,
you don't want any misunderstandings or
everybody
anything,
everybody know. You know what
do you
whatever helps you, you know, you know yeah. If you have a faith, that's great, perfect. However, there has been a lot of mega church scrutiny in the media these days,
right?
Simply because as you know, or maybe you don't know, but I'm about to school you on this. Churches actually don't pay taxes. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Because they're considered a nonprofit organization, just like charities, just like, you know, all these different organizations that do good work for the community.
Yes.
However, I wanted to show you a short video about mega churches and a couple of the pastors, the heads of these mega churches that got caught doing things.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to show you that.
You know, I've owned three different jets in my life, and used them and just burning them up for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Televangelist Jesse Duplantis says God himself told him it's time for an upgrade.
He said, I want you to believe me for a Falcon 7X. So I said, okay.
A Falcon 7 jet like this one to preach to more people around the world. And he's asking his followers for the $54 million.
Jesus.
I really believe that if Jesus was physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey.
From his Louisiana headquarters, Duplantis is among a group of televangelists who preach that their wealth is God's will.
This preys upon the poorest people that want and need money badly, where they're told if they give money, God's going to bless them 100-fold.
Duplantis lives in a 35,000-square-foot mansion, tax-free.
He's asking everybody who has less than he has to pay for this jet, and I don't get that, you know?
Fellow televangelist Kenneth Copeland recently bought a $36 million Gulfstream 5 jet.
Praise God. Isn't that good?
The two have commiserated about how they can't fly or pray with commercial airline passengers.
This dope-filled world,
right.
You get in a long tube with a bunch of demons.
Right, that's exactly the
And point. It's deadly.
See? What do you think about this? Obviously, this is not good. This is not the way a pastor should conduct himself.
Right. God didn't tell you to get no $54 million jet. My ass.
He did say Jesus wouldn't be riding a donkey.
I mean, if he was living nowadays, he'd probably be riding a car. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? But
a Buick.
That's crazy. I mean, for me, like, I'm sure these pastors do, like, empower, like, you know, their congregation or whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, they do, like, provide strength and moral support for them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like some of this, like, especially, like, this right now, this particular video, I feel like they're taking advantage of the people that put their trust in them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why, like, there's such a big, you know, hubbub.
Right.
Rubbub? Hubbub? Whatever that word is. About, like, organizations like this being tax-free. I mean, so there's a reason why churches are considered tax-free, because what they do for their community, right?
You're not supposed to profit off of it.
Yeah, and I thought about this deeply when I was you know, making what the points that we're going to talk about, right? Do you think that they should be tax-free?
Churches? I don't know.
And I was looking on, God bless Reddit, right? On different people's opinions on this, on... Most people actually, I don't know if you know this, but they're actually for it being tax-free because there is a trade-off. So if you don't pay taxes, mm-hmm. this is in America. I don't know about any other country except for America. This is America.
Right.
You are actually not allowed to make political donations. Mm. You cannot. It's against the law.
Right, of course.
But if they started paying taxes, then you could theoretically lobby money into politics. And at that point...
That's kind of corrupt.
Yeah, exactly. That's why there are taxes. That's one of the things of, if you have taxes, you can't do that.
Right.
So when you're hearing that, do you still think that it should be taxed? Because I think, you know what, like I said, the churches do a lot of good stuff for the community. They really do.
Right, but I think that's, like, churches, like, especially like pastors as, like, religious leaders, you know what? I'm going to say they shouldn't be taxed.
Because, really?
Yeah, because I don't think the church, anyone involved with religion, should be involved in politics.
No. I don't think you're getting it.
No. What you're saying is, like, so if they do get taxed, then they can, like, support and lobby these, like... These
politicians.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying they shouldn't be taxed.
Oh, I thought you said they should be taxed. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, they shouldn't be taxed is what I'm saying. Yeah. They should not be taxed, because I think that's, like, mixing religion and politics is, like, something that you should not do.
No, I agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think, like, no taxes for church. That's my personal opinion, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't know. I thought it was fascinating, because I was like... Because it... That you... That you have the separation of church and state.
Yeah.
Having that, like, how important that really is.
Of course.
To, you know, not controlling the narrative of how politics go and everything.
Because, like, even people like this, like, this, these pastors right in this video, it's like, I'm not going to say their following is a cult, but, like, if you're getting $54 million from, like, the people that follow you and they're willing to give you that much money,
mm-hmm.
and one of the guys in the interview said, they make less than you, they're poor.
Mm-hmm.
If this person starts supporting a specific politician, you don't think the people following them will do the same? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why. That's why it's dangerous.
Like,
that's
why it's, like, dangerous to, like, mix those two. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, though. $54
million. $54 million as God's will. But, hey, you ever been to church before?
Yeah. I was raised as a Catholic.
Okay.
I was a pastor, like an altar boy.
Really?
Yeah, during my high school years, I was, yes. I used to, like, carry the cross in, you know, wear, like, the... the clothes.
That actually is, like, kind of like, oh yeah, with you.
I used to be but I used to go to mass every Sunday. Korean mass, mind you. And my Korean was zero at the time, so I don't know what was going on during that.
Oh, Hanani!
I'm just in there like, when is this gonna end? Oh, Lord. Mm. But, yeah. And then I was also a teacher for the younger kids for Sunday school. Yeah. During, I think, senior year of high school.
Dang. Teacher era, okay. Yeah. I will tell you about this. So, you know, like different people, they go to different churches, right? Like, you know, you got, like, I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of races go to, like, you know, amongst themselves, you know, to go to, like, different churches or whatever, right? I'll tell you what. The Korean churches, the food is bussin'. It's real good. I'm not... Am I lying? Like, that bulgogi just be hitting different. Like, honestly.
The bulgogi
and the kimchi. Yeah. Like, you know, it just hits real different.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, like just going back, I also went to Catholic high school, now that I think about it.
Damn.
Loyola High School. Go Cubs. Anyways, yeah. I
Cubs.
Thinking about it, yeah. Like, I wasn't super... I'm not super religious. Like, mm-hmm. I never was, even though I went to church every Sunday. You know, like, my parents made me. It was, like, a family, like, thing we did. I'll be honest, I haven't been to church in, like, over, like probably 8-9 years.
I went to church once in Korea.
Yeah, I went to church, like, maybe twice in Korea, just, like, Christmas or Easter, but yeah. I haven't been. I'm not super religious, yeah.
Mm. Well,
sorry,
I don't know.
Mom.
My mom really gets on my case.
Oh, really?
Like, a lot.
You need Jesus in your life, bro.
Clearly. Anyway, I mean, look at me. I'm a hot mess. All right, well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys got our take on this. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the next topic.
Okay.
On to our next topic for the day. What is our next topic?
Which is actually the opposite of, you know, like, fundamentally, you know, the topic of religion. And it's about the topic of evolution.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a nice little thing we got going on here. So
we're getting more into like the scientific side.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the stoned ape theory?
No, I have no idea what that is.
Okay. Well, I actually like heard about this from my dad, who heard it from Joe Rogan, because he brought in somebody to talk about it. And it's really, really fascinating. And it makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
So, you know, I am a proponent of evolution.
Okay.
And, you know, that not necessarily we came from fish or we came from monkeys or anything like that.
Well, you do think like Neanderthals and then like just like the slow evolution of the human race.
Neanderthals and Homo sapiens are different.
Okay.
Okay. There's many different species of human.
Right.
There's like, you know, whatever. But so before that, though, so human beings apparently evolved straight up to what we are now in 2 million years, which in the grand scheme of things is really not that much time.
Right.
Like, it's actually really quick. So I have to look at the names here because I want to give credit to these people. So Terence McKenna and his brother Dennis McKenna, they came up with a theory that actually makes a lot of sense. Okay. And that being that, you know, underdeveloped human life forms, right? Mm-hmm. We were not always as smart as we are now. Tools, fire, like all this stuff, right? We were not always like this. But there is a theory that these ancient, I don't want to say Homo sapiens, but like ancient human beings, right? Humanoids.
Our ancestors.
Yeah, our ancestors.
Right.
So the reason why the human brain was able to evolve within 2 million years, which is very, very quick in the grand scheme of evolution, was because magic mushrooms, psychedelics.
Psychedelics.
But it actually makes a lot of sense. So,
I'm listening.
So basically, this is a quote, emerging from conversations between the two brothers, a theory proposes that the consumption of psilocybin fungi, I'm assuming that's magic mushrooms, played a crucial role in the evolution of consciousness and the development of the human mind, self-reflection, language, and culture, catalyzing the rapid evolution of early hominid species into modern Homo sapiens. So that being said, so listen, I don't do magic mushrooms or anything like that.
Yeah.
But what it does is it makes you think in ways that you normally would. It alters the chemical balance of your brain, right?
Right.
So the theory is that these ancient hominids would take magic mushrooms and then it would make them have an idea.
Right.
Or some kind of a creative burst, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, people like Snoop Dogg, I don't know anything about this, but like Snoop Dogg, he says, you know, when he smokes up, he gets very creative.
Right. Okay.
So it's kind of like the same thing. So you'll create ideas that are activated by the chemical imbalances caused by magic mushrooms. And then as that happens, you remember it when you're no longer under the influence of magic mushrooms.
Okay.
Okay. And you, over the course of millions of years, you just keep doing that.
Right.
And then your brain learns, and then you as a hominid teach that to your kids, and then to your kids, and then they do it, and then to their kids, and then eventually your brain develops through evolution. Isn't that a fascinating like take on it? That makes sense to me.
Okay. So this theory is saying these these people are really high.
Yeah.
And really creative.
Stoned.
They got that's what's called the stone ape.
Yeah. Stoned ape as in like literally they're stoned. Like stoned off drugs.
They got really stoned.
Uh-huh.
And then they came up with these great ideas and they became super creative.
Yes.
And that's how the human race got to
eventually
evolved
to what it is right now. The development of the brain came from learning and ideas that were created.
Right.
You know, like you might consider it outlandish in a sober, you know, straight way.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Because, like, you know, people do say, like, especially a lot of artists, like, you know, like hip-hop artists that they toke up or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. They're, like, they're, like, I feel the most creative and, like, the most, like, I get the most inspiration when I'm, like, in that state of mind, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it is a real thing. Like, honestly,
doesn't that sound, like, really possible to you?
Could be. I mean, like, the people that, like, advocate for, like, mushrooms as well, they're, like, I've seen videos where people are, like, I took, like, some, like, mushroom or something, and, like, it sent me into, like, another dimension.
Yeah, tripping.
I saw, like, dimensional, like beings.
It could be.
Like, I mean, who knows? I've never done it, so I wouldn't know. But just put it, if you put it into, like, just layman's terms, just people out really high, and they got super
tripping
creative.
Balls.
Tripping balls, yeah.
They were tripping balls. Our ancient monkey hominid ancestors were tripping balls, and that's why we're here today. Allegedly.
Well, I wonder what, like, the scientific community has to say about that.
They actually, so a lot of the scientific community, they say it actually makes sense. It actually, you can't just ignore it because it sounds so outlandish, right? Because it does sound outlandish when you just hear it. But when you think about it, it's like, oh, well, you know what? That actually does make sense. Because it also explains, you know, if you were to believe it or were to, like, consider it, why humans were able to evolve so quickly.
I mean, yeah, there obviously has to be something that, like, stimulated the brain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, also, it could have just been, like, an environmental thing. Like, you know, like, a situation. Oh,
definitely.
Thing where it's, like, they were forced to evolve. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Like, we're not from, like, 2 million years ago. And, mm-hmm. like, we're not from a million years ago. We don't know what happened. But, I mean, yeah, it could be, like, a viable theory. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's completely out the door. But if you just put it into layman's terms, it just sounds, like, a little ridiculous. I'm not going
to
lie.
It does sound ridiculous. That's why people have to, like, kind of push for being, like, you know,
we were tripping balls. Yeah. That's what we evolved. Like,
I mean, look, it makes sense to me, but I mean, I don't know. There is actually, like, certain groups of human beings that have different evolutionary traits than other human beings. Like, really high cold climate human beings have, for example, like, different lung structure, different bone structure, different fat storage than, like, you know, people that are, you know, from, like, cities or something.
Yeah.
That's actually a thing.
That's evolution. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I guess it's possible. But I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting. I thought it was, like, fun to
the stoned look at it. Ape theory. I might look into that.
No, dude, it's really fascinating. Check out Joe Rogan too. Shout out to Joe Rogan because, you know, he got it figured out too.
Yeah.
With all that stuff.
The stoned ape theory. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, like, I have seen videos where people are, like, you know, like, I do shrooms, or I take, like, a bunch of shrooms, and, like, I just, like, see, like, crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's, like, a higher being, like, trying to, like, talk to me.
Who knows what idea that could give to a lower life form that doesn't have the mental capacity to, like, figure out.
Maybe, there's, know. like a fourth dimension, or, like, a fifth dimension or mm-hmm. something in this world. Like, who knows? You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe mushrooms will be the key to the future.
There's also that one thing, ayahuasca.
See, oh, my God. So, I listened to the Howard Stern Show, and Robin Quivers from the Howard Stern Show did ayahuasca.
I heard that, like, changes your life.
So, what she said was that when she did ayahuasca for, like, a self-finding journey or something.
Yeah.
So, she went and did ayahuasca, and it's, like, you drink, like, a tea, and then you go to, like, smoke rooms or whatever, and then, like, she said she got violently sick. Like, that's part of it.
Oh, is it?
You do the ayahuasca, and you get violently ill.
Right.
Like, throw up, and, like, you're just, like, really sick.
Yeah.
And then after all of that is done, it, like, opens your mind. Like, it opens another dimension. Like, you see, she says she saw all the suffering on the planet, if that makes sense. I don't know how you see that, but she said she saw it. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, so basically, yeah, ayahuasca. I could see why maybe a lot of the, you know, people historically did that, why it was part of their culture.
Yeah, just if you just watch any videos, like, mm-hmm. of people that have done it, they're like, it's like a life altering, like, experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't know. Not that I would ever do that.
I don't
but
think
like,
so, no. I'm not interested in getting violently ill and seeing all the suffering.
I don't want to see fourth dimension. Like, it's a little scary.
I'm good being stable.
Yeah.
Maybe alcohol, but
I'm good with being just chill. Like, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Stone Deep Theory, yeah, I'm going to look more into it. It sounds like a little bizarre to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not well-versed in it, so I'll read about it and watch some clips or something about it.
I dig it. Check it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stoned ape. Yeah. When he first brought this up, I thought he said, like, stone ape as in, like, the Stone Age and, like, apes. I don't know what he was talking about, but okay. Stoned.
Yeah. Stoned ape.
Yeah, stoned
ape. Ape stripping balls. Check it out.
All right.
Anyway, let's go on to our viral videos. Let's go.
Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Let's see what the first video Joel has.
Okay. Oh, are we going right in? Okay.
Let's
go. This is going to be the first one. Let's go.
Here we go.
Here we go. How do I make this bigger?
The green one. Okay. Bro, you've had this for, like, weeks now. You still don't know how to use it?
All right. Anyway, I have been super into, like, watching funny body cam videos.
For cops.
For cops.
Okay, okay.
Because a lot of the time, they're really funny. There's some that are, like, really just awful, but, like, there's some that are, like, entertaining to watch. Yeah, when you, like, get, like, meltdowns or Karens or any of that stuff. But this is, watch this.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Why are you driving in the wrong way of traffic?
No, I just got changed around. I just moved here like 2 months ago.
Okay.
I just got changed around.
Okay. Do you understand what's going on though?
Yes.
You're going in oncoming traffic.
I know. And I just decided that it was better just to turn around really quick.
Okay.
But I'm sorry. I just have like really bad social anxiety and stuff.
I get you.
I don't want to step out whenever you're asking for stuff.
Okay, well, we're past that. Just go ahead and step out.
As an indigenous person,
she's indigenous. An indigenous person.
Why does it even matter?
Miss Perry? Am I...
Well, I'm non-binary, so...
Okay. What do you go by?
It's Kai.
How can I refer to you tonight? Kai? Okay. Hey, I'm smelling alcohol.
I know.
How much have you consumed tonight?
Like probably 3 drinks.
I need to run you through some tests right now. Stand facing me, please.
But I just want you to know that I also have very bad social anxiety.
You and me both. Okay. Any recent head trauma, traumatic brain injuries, anything I need to know about?
Mental, yes.
Focus on my finger, please.
I am. You're just like trying to intimidate me.
I don't know how I'm trying to do that. This is the test.
As you know, as an indigenous person, and there's a bunch of going around. I'm sorry, but
I knew
it's just
it
for me to be on my toes.
I get you.
Can you remember that I told you that I'm non-binary?
Yeah, I'll try my hardest. I'll refer to you as Kai, right?
Yes.
Perfect. I need to know if you have any injuries or anything that would prevent you from doing a standard walk or turn tonight.
Mental health.
Any physical injuries?
Mental, yeah. But no, I'm just saying.
Okay.
PTSD, depression, anxiety.
I get you.
What else you want?
Now with your right foot, place it in front of your left in a heel-to-toe touching manner with your arms by your side, just like this, ma'am.
Can you not call me ma'am, please?
I'm trying my hardest.
Okay, well.
Okay.
It means a lot to me.
I'm trying my hardest.
I don't feel like a man, so.
Okay.
It's kind of triggering.
Right foot in front of your left.
Nope, this video is triggering.
I'm sorry, but that whole man thing, just like.
I apologize. Let's see if we can move forward from it. You have zero questions?
No, but I just want to tell you that I suffer from really bad anxiety, especially with generational trauma and PTSD around white people and cops. Like,
Jesus.
It's just...
I'm going to speak with you right over here, okay?
No.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead and place your hands behind your back.
Don't, dude.
Don't make it hard.
Please.
Don't make it hard.
No, you're
going to get a resistance.
Dude,
you're going to get a resistance.
I don't.
Don't resist.
Don't.
Listen to me.
No words.
Don't resist.
Don't. You're being a white man and don't. I fall in
being a white man is what
you're saying. I'm an indigenous person like you guys. You guys are scaring me.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
Yes, there is. It's called generational trauma.
Okay, walk on my vehicle.
This video makes me so angry.
I knew it would. So, okay, takes. What's the take?
This is exactly what is wrong with American society nowadays. That is a Karen to, like, the max.
The umpteenth degree.
You got caught drunk driving, lady. What is you being indigenous, you being non-binary, what does that have to do with anything?
Well,
you broke the law, number one. But the thing is, it's just the way that she went about it and the way she's like, I'm also non-binary. Just remember that I'm also indigenous.
Let's put it in advance. Let's just say this. You know, they're non-binary. They prefer to be called they, them. So I will respect that and call them a they, them. I think that's what non-binary is. But none of those things have anything to do
exactly
with getting caught drunk driving. And she or they appeared to me to be very... inebriated.
They're just trying to use any excuse they can to like try to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, like police officers or you know like security guards. We talked about that. This is why people are afraid to do anything nowadays because people like her bring up social issues into like you know like the reasoning behind like you know like It makes no sense. And you can't use that as a barrier if you like, broke the law. You broke the law.
And the cop was really trying.
Yeah.
Like, the cop was really trying. You know, the policeman was very pleasant. You know, honestly, if it was me, I wouldn't have spent time or effort listening to any of that nonsense.
I would have been like, just put your
in terms of, like, you got caught drunk driving. Okay, that's the bottom line, all right?
Right.
All that other stuff, generational trauma, PTSD, mental issues, the non-binary thing.
Indigenous,
what does that have to do with anything?
You drunk drove, you're driving on the wrong side of the road, where you could have killed someone, mm-hmm. you could have gotten into an accident, you could have hurt someone, like, badly.
Yeah.
You
literally driving
excuse.
Into oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
That's how dangerous and illegal is that? Like,
that's,
you know what I mean?
Crazy.
And this person was not even trying to keep what do you call it? trying to keep be serious about it, laughing the whole time. You know, until the very end.
Trying to brush it off with all these social mm-hmm. issues.
That has nothing to do with breaking the law. And I knew that it would really bother you.
That triggers me like so bad. that actually makes you really angry.
Yeah. I don't
that annoys me.
Like I said, I've been watching a lot of these body cams with, like, Karens or people refusing to get arrested because you can't arrest me because you don't have a reason. Meanwhile, these people are doing stuff like
drunk driving
or, like, you know, all kinds of really illegal things, you know. I don't know. It's kind of like a thing that I watch these days. I don't like police brutality or any of those kind of videos because those also like exist.
This gentleman was being very polite. He mm-hmm. was going by the book.
Right.
He was trying to be as respectful as possible. You know what I mean?
Most of the time, cops are pretty pleasant people. Yep. There's a few bad eggs. Right. You know, not all cops are bad. You know, there's a few bad eggs in there. But this is an example of being a good cop and people doing or saying whatever they can to try and get them to stop or make an issue online.
This is my personal opinion. This is an American issue.
It is.
And also like maybe like some other like Western countries
mm-hmm.
might be getting into that trend now. Anywhere else in the world you try to pull this bullshit off,
mm-hmm.
you will be arrested mm-hmm. immediately. You cannot use excuses like that if you're breaking the law.
Thing is, I genuinely think a lot of cops are afraid of backlash. That's why they're being because like
exactly.
You know, and like I said, there were incidents and are incidents where this is police do abuse their power. And people end up really hurt or dead or whatever.
Of course, there are instances like that, but it mm-hmm. didn't seem like it was in this particular case.
But, you know, trying to play whatever card you can to make it that, you know.
Yeah. Just like she was trying to like pretty much like intimidate the cop by using all these like social like mm-hmm. issues nowadays.
Well, that was a bit of a heavy one. Mm-hmm. I knew you wouldn't like that one, but I think you'll like the next one.
Yeah. Well, these social issues, I'm letting you guys know, it would only work in America. Come to Korea and try to play that bullshit. Mm, you will be arrested ASAP.
Yeah.
Anywhere else in the world. You know how ridiculous that is?
It would not, yes. I agree with you. But you'll like this one better.
Heads up, I don't know if this is serious or not, but I found it and it's really weird.
Okay, let's watch it.
Okay.
God, video just made me so annoyed. Who is that? I just watch it.
Sports guy. They have a podcast called Beauty and the Beast. Or okay. What else?
Like, no, I've never shitted in a tissue before.
You shit, you touch shit every single day of your shit.
Why are you touching the shit? The tissue is for the shit.
So you telling me that y'all just let the doodle fall in the toilet? Y'all don't catch it every time?
Yo.
I am about to leave, bro.
How do y'all take a shit? I must have seen this shit wrong.
My nigga.
I've been catching my shit all these years.
Nah, I'm more disgusted than like, I feel like I can't continue.
What are you talking about?
My stomach.
So hold
is
on. So y'all just sit there and shit right, come right out. No way.
What happens if you got the runs or something like that? Yo, what do you do then?
Shit, you wash your hair. Why do you think people wash their hair?
Yo, you shit in your hand, bro?
With tissue.
So what he's saying is that he puts toilet paper on his hand
and then he
catches the doo-doo on his hand and then puts it in the toilet for some reason. He can't be real, right?
No, that has to be he has to be. No way, that's joking. No way.
She is so like flabbergasted by this. She's like,
this has to be like a skit or something. No way this is real.
No, because I was reading the comments and this was actually a conversation they had on this podcast.
No, he has to be joking. No way. No way you're shitting into your hand. That's crazy.
Oh, that's funny.
No way.
And I don't want to get on the intricacies of how you make a number two or how you do or anything like that. But I was dying laughing when I saw this.
No way.
Oh my God.
Oh my god. So that, he has to be joking. There's no way he's being serious, guys. Come on.
I mean, I don't know. That's where, that's why I put this here. I mean, you think he's serious? Is there some people out there that do that? Because, I mean,
no. Of course you let your shit drop into the toilet. What? It'll catch you with your hands.
Oh my god.
That's wild.
I was laughing though. I was dying laughing. Oh my god.
No, this guy has to be joking around. No way. That's if he, and if he's actually catching his shit, that's, I mean,
I mentioned last time, I don't like talking about bodily functions on this podcast, but yeah. Like, it, I thought it was pretty funny. I definitely am going to look into this to see if it actually believes that, because that's,
I mean, he said you can wash your hands after, so I mean
yeah. She's like, her reactions are so funny. She's like,
yeah, she's like, no.
Everybody, gross. Please make a doo-doo in the toilet. Do not grab it and then throw it in. Nasty. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, so. Anyway, that's viral videos for today. You were mad, and then now you laughed. So, on to the news. Got some fun stuff. Yay! Let's do it.
Here we go.
Here we go. All right, after the torrent of emotions that Aaron is currently having about his...
about the videos.
About the viral videos.
Yep.
I'm going to move on to the news. These are a little bit... I don't want to say fun, but they're like really weird. I only do weird news videos. Anyway, so the first one is... I still breastfeed my 9-year-old daughter. She doesn't want me to stop. Okay. One mom is admitting she still breastfeeds her 9-year-old daughter simply because her child enjoys it. She said on Quora, the asking websites like Ask Jeeves. Yeah. I still allow my 9-year-old daughter to breastfeed from me and she won't stop until she wants to. Does anyone support me? The World Health Organization urges mothers to exclusively breastfeed their newborns for 6 months. Sounds about right. Before gradually introducing appropriate foods after 6 months while continuing to breastfeed for 2 years or beyond. A statement from BetterHealth reads, stopping breastfeeding is called weaning. It is up to you and your baby to decide when the time is right. Some parents and babies enjoy breastfeeding so much they are in no hurry to stop. It is not unusual for children up to 4 years of age to continue to be breastfed. That's fucking weird.
Yeah, nine years?
You remember being 9 years old, right?
Yeah.
I remember when I was 9 years old, and I was nowhere near any titties at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no titties.
Yeah, what?
I was off the titty for a long time by then.
Off the tit, yeah.
I was off the tit, yeah. I was, that seems very, very, like, wrong.
It seems strange.
Like,
I think it is strange.
You should probably call Child Protective Services for something like that. That seems weird. 9 years old?
Yeah, I could maybe like
even
see,
four
like,
is a little old. I think
I could like maybe see like the stretch like 4 or 5 or whatever, but like 9.
I was eating ramyun by the time I was 9.
You about to hit double digits?
Yeah, no, that's so weird. And so like people are like, oh, can I have your opinion if it's normal for me to breastfeed my child after 9 years old? So no, lady, you're fucking weird, man.
Like, well, what do people say?
Everyone was like,
...
institutionalization. Hello, yeah. Shock therapy. This lady's crazy.
Yeah, that's. But it's also the child. That's weird. Yeah.
But they said the child wants it. Well, of course the child wants it because the child doesn't know anything else because all he had is the titty
because he or she was never weaned off of it.
Yeah,
right?
So like that's all they really know. I'm sure they eat. I'm sure. Whatever. I'm sure the kid eats regular food at that age.
Yeah.
You know, it can't just be all milk. Like that's not possible.
That's crazy.
And from what I know about people that I know that have been pregnant and have had kids, a lot of them can't wait to get off breastfeeding.
Yeah, I heard
because
it hurts.
It's painful because, right. You know, like, it can get, like, engorging and all that, you know,
I heard
stuff.
Like a lot of chafing and stuff, too.
Yeah, and it's, like, very uncomfortable. So, like, a lot of moms, like, they are so excited to get off of breastfeeding, but this lady wants to stay on it for 9 years.
Yeah, that's a little... I mean, lady, that's your child. Do you?
I mean, do what you want, but, I mean, if they're...
It seems a little
After you get to... If they're a teenager and they're still doing that...
Yeah. Once they hit them double digits, though, they're joining, like, 90% of the population, so they should not be doing that.
Excuse me?
What? They're joining 90% of the population, double digit.
Oh.
In terms of age.
Oh.
Yeah. What did you think I said?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you meant by that. But anyway, yeah, lady, you're weird. Seek help.
Yeah, that doesn't seem... number one, like Joel said, that's...
By the time I was 9, I wasn't even trying to look at nothing like that.
When I was like out riding bikes and like hanging out with friends.
I was eating ramyun.
Yeah.
With eggs in it and chop up some hot dogs. I mean, you know, real prison food, but like it was good.
That's crazy.
I got no time for breast milk.
That sounds... Yeah. Oh my God, lady. What are you doing?
Oh God. Okay.
I mean, do you?
Okay.
Well, we are judging a little bit.
Oh, I'm judging. I'll say that right now. Yeah. I am judging you, lady. You're weird.
Damn, breast. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the next story.
All right, the next story is also a story about a mum.
A mum,
yes. Yeah, well, I don't know, because this is British. You know, I got this from The Mirror Online, which is a British tabloid.
Okay.
I'm a single mom of 12. I can't afford them, but I love having babies. Name redacted, 39, from New York, U.S., spends £19,000 a year feeding her 12 children, and she wouldn't be able to support her family if the government didn't help her out. Now, this gets me heated.
Food stamps?
A single mom of 12 says she's been forced to rely on food stamps due to the cost of living crisis. Look, shit's expensive these days. And can't afford to feed her family without them. Name redacted 39 says she has to feed her kids macaroni, hot dogs, and packet ramen because now her yearly food bill totals $24,000. That's a lot. $24,000? She says she's trolled on TikTok for not being able to afford her big family by people who say she shouldn't have kids in the first place, but she does not regret them and says having babies feels like it's her superpower. This lady, hold the phone, you're not going to believe this, is a TikTok creator. That says a lot. There you go. From New York, U.S. says, I would never have kids if I'd waited until I was rich. I don't regret any of my kids. I'm trying to take care of my kids the best I can. This month, I don't have any money, so I had to spend $1,400 in food stamps. It's impossible to feed 11 people on $1,400. The prices for everything right now are tight. I used to feed a family of 12 for $500 a month, but now you need $2,000 to $3,000 a month to feed this many people just ramen noodles. Okay, this is the problem with people abusing the welfare system.
Yep.
The EBT.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a proponent for this. Like, obviously, everybody has the right to have kids. Everyone's open to the right and the ability to have children, right?
Right.
However, you need to be responsible for the well-being of those children that you're having.
Yes.
You either get those tubes tied, or you start using rubbers.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, whatever contraceptive that you need to use, because that is ridiculous. 12 kids, $24,000 a year, just on food. That's just food.
Yeah.
I call that abuse of the system.
Yep, abuse of the system, number one. And it's also, I think, abuse of the kids.
Yeah. First of all, kids can't survive just off of ramen noodles.
They could, but the thing is, it's like that's not healthy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh God.
Wake up, 12 kids. Have your ramen noodles and your vitamins.
Yeah,
that's it. I can't imagine, you know, a lot of vegetables or like decent food sources are included in this whatsoever.
Right.
But I'm totally against this.
Yeah.
And I think if you can't support your family, then, you know, you should not have kids, honestly. I think that.
Yeah. And that's why, like, even if you look at, like, Korea right now, like, we have, like, the lowest birth rate, like, ever, right? And the reason for that being, it's, like, the kids, the people who are in their 20s and 30s now, it's, like, we're having a hard time just surviving ourselves. It's, like, if we have a kid, like, I have to be responsible for that kid. But the thing is, I know, like, I'm not going to be able to take care of it, which is why the birth rate is so low.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys should learn something from what, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, 12 kids, man, that's like a soccer 12 team.
12 kids, and you're abusing, like, the welfare system.
Uh-huh.
And, like, these kids, like, what kind of, like, lives, like, are they going to have, like, when they're young? You know what I mean? Like,
and this is why, like,
sounds terrible.
When you have that many kids, you can't take care of 12 kids. That's how so many kids end up in the system.
And is there one father, or is she single?
It doesn't say. It just says she's got 12 kids. But
oh, my God.
Doing this, you end up kids that get into trouble.
Right.
Because, you know, it's hard to maintain and give attention and love to that many kids, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you can handle 12 kids, I mean, look, Nick Cannon, he's got whatever going on. He's got like 50 million kids.
But he also has like 50
But he has like a lot of money, yeah. So he can take care of these kids, right? But you can't take care of the kids, and you keep pumping these kids out just so you can get that little tiny stipend more on your EBT or on your welfare checks. I don't know. For me, it seems really, really wrong.
Oh yeah.
For the kids. Can't eat properly. Eventually they'll probably end up getting in trouble. You know, some kids end up in the system through this.
Yep. I mean, not saying that like she could be like a great mother like emotionally, but the thing is like emotions, yeah, that's a part of raising a child. It's also you need to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is if you're feeding them ramen and fucking hot dogs and shit, that's you know what I mean? Like that's not good.
Ramen, hot dogs and macaroni.
That's crazy,
I'm
dude.
I'm gonna lie though, that sound real good right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna
I'm gonna boil some hot dogs after this.
Oh man, yeah, that's crazy. Just lady, stop having kids. Like that's wild. Mm-mm. And she's also a TikTok creator. You
yeah,
said?
so she's got time for TikTok, but she don't got time to like you know
an actual. Like
you know, it doesn't say if she has a job or not because she could have a job and you can still be on EBT. But like, I don't know. I feel like your priorities are all wrong if you're a TikTok creator with 12 kids.
I mean, I agree with her statement that like having children is a superpower that she feels like she has. Like, yeah, I agree. Women like that is like a superpower that women have, like being able to have children. But don't abuse it like this lady. Mm. That's crazy.
Nope.
Maybe she's always wanted to have a big family, but
that's cool.
You also your socioeconomic like you know like situation also. Should be a factor in having children.
Mm-hmm.
For me right now, at this point, I just kind of feel bad for the kids.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully she runs into some money or something.
She wins the Powerball.
Yeah, I don't know.
She wins the Powerball
or something. You know what
Listen,
mean?
I won't say nothing if she wins the Powerball, but right now she's draining the system. That's the problem. So, yeah. I mean, anyway.
Lady, that's crazy. 12 kids.
Yeah. Guys, come on. Like, that's you know.
Yeah.
Let's think of the children.
Yes, let's think of the children.
Think
everyone.
Of the children.
Yes.
We are the world. Anyway, yeah, that was today's podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed listening. Yeah. And, you know, like to cover a variety of different things.
Yes.
So look forward to next week, too, on our podcast.
I mean, obviously, we realize that we don't get into, like, the details of, like, you know, the stuff that we talk about. Hopefully you guys still enjoy our conversation. Mm-hmm. These are just our personal opinions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And you know, the thing is you can like, you can go in and you can look up the things that we talk about and formulate your own opinions. If you didn't know about it before, for example, the stone date, you might think it's crazy, but you can go look for yourself and you'll be like, hey, that kind of makes sense. Or any, you know, you can kind of create conversation.
Right.
You know? Allow you to formulate your own opinions on things.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode, today's topics, today's video.
Yes.
And yeah, we'll see you guys next week with another fun and exciting episode.
Yes, and you can check out snippets of this on the Clips channel that we have. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Are you ready, Aaron?
Also, make sure to like and subscribe.
Yeah, do
to
that too.
Channel if you haven't already. Yeah. All right, let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Yee-haw!
Woo! Bye-bye.
Bye.